to another installment of The Two Brandons. This is Brandon Thomas.
And this is Brandon Easton.
And we are coming back at you. We apologize for being away. I have quite a few things going on work-wise and life-wise. Expecting a baby any day now. So
congratulations, bro.
Thank you. Before that happens and changes everything, we wanted to definitely sneak in one last installment before I'm completely sleep-deprived for the next 6 months. So we appreciate your patience. Yeah, so I think what we should talk about now, we should just, you guys will see what date this is being posted, so you know what we're going to talk about. But before we get to that, let's talk about what we are respectively working on right now. Super busy. Horizon is still going strong. Just got the cover in for 13 this morning, and it looks amazing. The work that my art team, Juan Gedeon and Mike Spicer, are doing just keeps getting better month in, month out. I'm so happy to be working with these guys. The book is really heating up. We are closing in on a massive revelation in Horizon 12 that changes the entire series, everything that you've read and thought you understood, everything that comes afterwards. It's going to be a really sweet marker to hit. And I have a couple of other things that I can't discuss right now, but let's just say my writing schedule is basically filled for the rest of the year. And it's the first time I've ever been in that situation where if someone offered me something else, I would literally have to turn it down. So it's a really cool, interesting place to be in professionally. And I'm just gonna put my head down and work hard and get you guys some more cool books. And the one that is coming up, my next big launch, is gonna be Noble from the new Catalyst Prime universe coming out of Lion Forge. I'm sure you guys have heard quite a bit about it. That first issue will be in stores on May 3rd. I'm working with Roger Robinson, who I'm sure some of you know from his amazing Batman Gotham Knights run with Devin Grayson some years back, but it's been pretty cool working with him. It's been a dream. He's been an artist that I've loved and have thought was criminally underrated for so long. So I am kind of I'm putting a little ego into it, and I'm taking it upon myself to make sure that Roger is never underestimated and never undervalued again. I am really trying to give him the opportunity to show the hell off and show people what he is capable of and has always been capable of. And it's been a great experience putting together this new universe with our editors, Joseph Village, Desiree Rodriguez, all the other cool people at Lion Forge, and fellow writers like David Walker, Joe Casey, Amy Chu, Alex DeCampi. I apologize if I'm leaving anybody out, but it's a really exciting time, and I think you guys have a lot of really cool, exciting books to look forward to with my name on it, and I'm thankful to be in that position.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been taking a look at all the preview art and the Entertainment Weekly interview with the creative team of Noble and the other Catalyst Prime books, and I've been deeply impressed. I mean, I knew it was going to be fantastic, but it's great to see the proliferation of that artwork and people responding positively to it. It's great to have a diverse superhero universe that is logical and organic, and it's great to have organic and logical creators working on those books.
Yeah.
I was just saying to Brandon Thomas earlier that this is the style of book he should have been working on at Marvel or DC or any place in the comic book industry, so people can see what Thomas is capable of as a superhero creator and as a comic book writer. I'm just very proud and happy that you've gotten this massive opportunity on a national stage to show what you're capable of, even larger than, let's say, Horizon, which is fantastic. But I feel that
it's not a superhero book.
Right. And the impact is going to be a little bit different with the Noble and Catalyst Prime stuff. So, you know, my hat goes off to you, and I'm very, very happy to see that you've gotten this platform to show what you can do, because it's a long time coming. And I'll go back to all the way back to our first episode, where there's all these incredible Black writers in comics who just don't get the opportunity to show what they can do on a national level. And, you know, you've been one of the many who I felt deserve a landing strip, you know, a red carpet and a landing strip to show all the things that you can do. I mean, Ray Anthony Hite just got hired to do an X-Men book for X-Men Blue, I believe it is, for Marvel. And he's another person who is deeply talented, who deserves a national platform to show what he can do. And slowly but surely, a lot of creators that we know who are not even underrated, just criminally unknown, you know, are getting the chance to shine. So, you know, just props to you, props to Ray, props to all the folks over at Line Forge who have gotten the right pathway to the audience. Now everybody no longer has an excuse to not know who Brandon Thomas is, or who Amy Chu or Alex DeCampi, or even, you know, people like Joe Illich and Desiree, you know, all those other, and all other great names working at Lion Forge, like Ramon Govea, you know, and Sheena Howard. You know, there's other folks in the mix who just need spotlights, and I'm glad you're getting them. So, yeah, God bless. And I'm very much looking forward to see what comes out of all this.
Thank you. Noble is a lot of fun. I mean, when Joe first spoke to me about doing Noble, which is it's in essence the flagship book of Catalyst Prime. I try not to say that out loud too many times, because I don't know if it freaks me out or if it just sounds like sounds like I'm bragging on myself. But
right.
You know, it was very important to me. I mentioned this in some in that Entertainment Weekly interview. Was we typically don't get to see Black and brown characters operate on an epic superhero canvas. And that was basically my mission statement for Noble. You know, this is Noble is not protecting a block. He's not protecting a neighborhood.
Right. You know, yeah.
And I mean, that's an exaggeration. Right. But I mean, a lot of the Black and brown characters that we have in mainstream comics right now, they feel they're cool and they're vital, but they're very boxed in, you know, with the exception of Black Panther, I would say. Everyone else is kind of blocked into a neighborhood or other characters or a worldview. And I really wanted to make this feel, the book is in essence, it should feel like a superhero version of Jason Bourne. You know, our main character, you know, David Powell, he's been through this traumatic experience. His memory is in pieces. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know quite what he's lost. And he has these powers that he is not fully in control or command of. And the book is essentially about his journey back to himself. And, you know, on a kind of a metatextual level, there's also something to be said about, you know, a Black man who doesn't know who he is, like a Black man that doesn't remember his own greatness, because David Powell is one of the most famous, most notable human beings that exists within the Catalyst Prime universe. He's an astronaut. You know, everyone knows him. Anytime he goes out in the street, he's recognized. And dealing with the ramifications of a man with a history like that, that doesn't remember it, that isn't, you know, that isn't aware of it. And there's a lot to be said about a character who doesn't know his own greatness, who doesn't know his own power. And this book is about him finding that again. And it's been a really great experience. And, you know, I'm learning a lot, learned something from every script that I do. And it's an epic book. It starts in Argentina. I have to thank my, Horizon artist, Juan Gedeon, 'cause I asked him, he's from Argentina, and I asked him for a location, to begin Noble One. And, he gave me the perfect spot, the perfect kind of environment to begin, this book in. And it's just one of those things that I felt like I hadn't seen. Like, I don't remember the last time I saw, you know, a black superhero, even in another country, you know, let alone, you know, out of these kind of like urban city environments. And there is going to be some of that in the book. But when the book starts, I want it to feel big. You know, I want it to have a scale that I feel is often lacking from other kind of mainstream titles that have black and brown characters in them. And this is a, you know, like I said, the Catalyst Prime is, it's a product of its time. It's a product of now. So the right. world looks like the world looks. This is not like a 1960s version that we're now trying to shoehorn into the present day, which is how some of the, I think, mainstream companies make, you know, big mistakes, because their foundation is in the past. The foundation of Catalyst Prime is here and now. And so that allows us a much greater canvas, and it allows us greater latitude. And I'm super excited for people to get their hands on that first issue. It is almost all action. It's a great, you know, a great epic visual action sequence by Roger Robinson, colored by Juan Fernandez, and lettered by Saeeda, I'm going to probably butcher her last name, Temafonte, but she's done some great things with the lettering, similar to the really cool organic stuff that Russ Wooten does for Horizon. And she gives that, she gives the, I always say that she makes the book look finished with the job that she does with the lettering. Like, this is not your standard, you know, boring superhero lettering. This is with the special effects becoming a very organic, like, immediate tactile part of the comic. And I think people are really gonna respond to it. And so I'm super excited. I'm having a lot of fun. Roger is doing great, great work. We get along great. We have all these weird connections that I keep telling people about. We have the same birthday. We live about 20 minutes apart. We live in different suburbs of San Diego. And then one of his sons is named Brandon. So basically I was like, oh, okay. So maybe this was meant to be, but we're getting
along. That's really cool, man.
We're getting along great. He's having a great time. And, you know, people aren't ready. They think they're ready, but they're not quite ready. And that's where we want them to be. And so I'm really excited to start getting some feedback from people on Noble. But I know people are going to love David Powell and his wife, man. His wife, Astrid Allen Powell. I love writing her so much. She was my first big contribution to this book, because David Powell was already in place. You know, he was in place, his name, his origin story. So Astrid was an opportunity for me to really inject a lot into this book and into this universe. And I'm so, like, right now there is there's a page from the second issue that is my desktop background. So I'm looking at it right now, and it is one of the most awesome pages that I've ever, you know, that's ever been in a book that I've written. So it's really cool. It's a really cool feeling. This is always the exciting / anxious part. Like, when you're a few weeks out from launch and you're like, are people gonna like it? I hope they like it. So we're kind of in that spot right now, but I feel really good about where we are and about where we're going. And I think that this book is going to give, it's like you said, this book and this universe, I believe, are going to deliver what people have been asking for. So I have an expectation that people will respond to it, because we've been hearing for years and years, these are the kind of books that people want. These are the kind of characters that people want. These are the kind of creators they want to see being unleashed on these types of stories. So I'm super excited. So May 3rd, Noble One, and then on May 6th, Free Comic Book Day, there's going to be a one-shot called Catalyst Prime, The Event, which is basically going to be the prologue to the Catalyst Prime universe. So you'll kind of get a little taste of how David Powell got from there to, you know, our book.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to talk about. I really resonated with the part of your Entertainment Weekly interview that talked about how you wanted to see black characters on a widescreen, situation, widescreen page in a widescreen format. And it wasn't just a hood, it wasn't just a neighborhood, it wasn't just like a block. It would be a global hero like Superman or Captain America, who people could look up to and be like, oh, this is who this guy is. And this is what he's trying to do. And I think that's the importance of it. I mean, when I was hired to do MASC, Mobile Armored Strike Command, and they said, do you want to change the color? Do you want to have a more diverse team? And I said, look, Matt Tracker doesn't have to be white,
Right.
And in my mind, I felt I was tired of black men being, specifically black men, being sidekicks.
Yeah.
Without a life, without a personal life, without love, without sex appeal, without any kind of,
Oh man, I'm glad you
without
said
any
that.
kind of mode other than to be a backup to the white hero. And we've been that for so long that people have trouble seeing us as anything but that. And Mask is chugging along. I don't know how much longer the series is going to be around, but Mask is chugging along. And I recently got cleared to do some other books at IDW, so I'm very
Sweet.
happy about that. Well, at least to
Sweet.
pitch them, which is a good sign. And I'll talk about that as it becomes more real, because when you're in the pitching stage, everything is still basically no.
Yeah.
For
It's
those who are listening.
all smoke. It's all smoke, and it feels so close and so far away at the same time. It's
Right. Exactly.
strange.
So, I'm happy about that. Things definitely calmed down a lot for me personally. So, this is TV staffing season.
Okay.
And, I didn't get staffed on a show after Agent Carter got canceled. So, I'm doing everything I can to increase my chances, so to speak.
Okay.
So, there might be a writer's strike. The Writers Guild of America is
Yeah, I
currently
heard that.
on the precipice of a massive strike, which could paralyze the industry. But, there are some issues that need to be dealt with, and I feel like writers are still getting the short end of the stick in Hollywood, and believe me, we are. So, in the meantime, I decided to shoot a short film with Anthony Montgomery, who played Ensign Mayweather on Star Trek Enterprise. He's currently on General Hospital.
Okay.
So, I decided to shoot a short film with a black male hero dealing with UFO phenomenon. And we don't, I don't think. Other than, I mean, I really, other than Men in Black, and that's action comedy, I don't
Right.
know of any black characters in UFO thrillers that I can think of. I honestly cannot think of one. And I've sat down and I thought about it, and I think Exhibit was in the second X-Files movie.
Yes, briefly.
And, right, briefly, just like Stephen Williams from 21 Jump Street was on the X-Files TV series as the character named Mr. X.
Yeah.
Beyond that, which is kind of strange, but
He beat up Mulder a few
a
times.
couple of times. Well, yeah, everybody did.
Yeah, that's true.
but the reality of the situation is that I decided to do something where I did not see a presence. So I decided to do this short film. Now, I mean, I'm in the middle of editing it. I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, I'm working on it this entire weekend, so we'll see. But there is something to be said about African American presence in places where we're needed, yet we're not always being put there. You know
Right.
what I mean? Like, I'm very, very happy that there's going to be a book like Noble where I feel the black male character isn't a walking stereotype.
Right.
I'm glad he's an astronaut
Yep.
because there are plenty of black people who are in STEM who are not ever discussed or ever reflected in pop culture. So I'm glad that, Noble's going to happen. I'm glad I got the chance to do Matt Tracker as an engineer and superhero who, is not a sidekick, who he is the leader of MASK. And I'm glad that there are other creators out there doing things where you have black male and female characters who are at the forefront. Because I am very tired of us as sidekicks and as secondary, with no life, with no sex, with no love, with no kids, with no dreams, with no goals. I mean, we've got to keep creating. And even if the marketplace doesn't support it, at the very least, we know we exist. And we've done our work. We've put the solution out there. Whether or not people take the solution, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
So the bottom line is, you know, I'm glad that LionForge is doing what it's doing. I'm glad that the brain trust at LionForge has hired the people they've hired. And I'm, you know, I'll be there in the first week of May to support what you guys are doing, as always. And that's basically it, man. I mean, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what you do. And I believe the proof is going to be in the pudding, as they say. And we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm feeling very, very excited about it. Every little thing that I get, you know, like every page that I get back, you guys have seen some of the variant covers. Kari did a great, great cover for the first issue. So did Phil Jimenez. John Cassaday in issue 2, I believe we have variant covers by Pat Zercher, which looks amazing, and also a piece that you guys haven't seen yet, but I have seen, and it's just so just mind blowing. Caron Grant has a variant for Noble 2, and it's fire. It's fire. Like, I can't wait until it gets released. Hopefully, that'll be pretty soon. So. It's just great to see the stuff all come together. Like, I love this part of it. I love after I write the script and I send it out, and then art starts coming back, and it gives it a whole new texture and a whole new life. And it's funny, at this point, I'll actually write stuff and kind of borderline forget until the pages come back, and I'll be like, oh, okay, I remember that. I think that turned out pretty well. So it's been really cool to see everything just kind of, you know, coalesce together, you know, everything like come together. And I think you guys are going to be really, really excited about Noble and the world of Noble and David Powell and his wife, Astrid. I keep talking about Astrid because I can't say enough, but, you know, I'll say too much, so I need to stop. But it's going to be dope. Gonna be dope.
Speaking of excitement, we had a certain teaser trailer that dropped.
Ah, yes.
So,
do you have time? Do you have time? Let's jump on now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was going to say, I got up early and I totally had forgotten that Star Wars Celebration in Orlando was happening.
Man,
you know, and here's the weird part. Me and Brandon Thomas were both at Star Wars Celebration in 2015, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, the thing about that to me, I don't know what it is, but Orlando seems much better organized with a lot of cooler stuff, at least from what I'm seeing, because I would think that the year that Force Awakens got released, you would have a more charged up celebration compared to, because I've looked at all the celebrations over the years, and Anaheim did not feel as well organized as Orlando does. And also the Orlando crowd seems to be really, 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 really excited.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's something about the Anaheim Convention Center, particularly the parking, that makes people very angry by the time they make it to, you know, I just did WonderCon in Anaheim, and there's something about that place that just makes you not as enthusiastic. It's the really lousy security staff, the really lousy, and I'm saying this publicly, I don't care. The security staff and the parking staff at the Anaheim Convention Center complex, they suck. It's horrible. So it definitely dims your enthusiasm for whatever it is.
I can tell you, I was one of the, you know, the few diehards that camped out and was in that Force Awakens panel, and it was pretty charged up in the actual panel. I think the actual convention center and kind of how they had things set up could have been run and organized a lot better, but I can tell you, like, being in that room with a bunch of people that had stayed up all night and slept on the floor so we could be like the first people in the world to see
this,
because it was the second trailer, it wasn't the teaser, it was the second trailer, but it was pretty charged up in the room. And I remembered that fondly because I watched the entire, you know, the entire panel. I didn't just want to see the trailer. I wanted to see the whole thing, but, you know, impressions, great. I'm going to try. I feel like I watched the trailer for Force Awakens too many times. I felt like I watched too many commercials, And the thing for me, I feel like the thing that spoiled more elements of the story were reading all of the interviews, like all of like the behind the scenes, you know, interviews, like Entertainment Weekly did a spread. And I think Vanity Fair did. I felt like reading the interviews actually spoiled even more of the movie for me than the actual footage. So I'm going to try to, you know, get rid of that, not read that at all. And just, you know, not... bathe myself in the footage and TV spots. Now, mind you, I said this last year too, publicly on Facebook, and then when I did, I attached a photo of Lion Cat from Saga. So I can say what I want to, you know, I can make this plan and say, well, I'm not gonna watch it, you know, 100 times, you know, in a few months, but yeah, we'll see how that all goes. But initial impressions, I mean, I like the look of it. It looks, you know, looks darker. I thought, again, this was a great little teaser that showed you something, but and showed you absolutely nothing at the same time. But I felt there were some real kind of money shots that I think Star Wars fans have been looking forward to. Like, I've always wanted to see, you know, that really cool, like, far shot they did of Rey, you know, practicing with the lightsaber, like on the cliff while Luke watches her. So, like, little things like that that just the Star Wars fan in me has always been dying to see. Like, it's great to see, you know, the kind of like a different, I want to get like a different aesthetic and a different feel from this one. Because, you know, I felt like, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, I won't go into it, but The Force Awakens was basically, you know, kind of like wrapping ourselves like in a blanket of
nostalgia. Yeah, right, absolutely. Right.
And I want to see this one take some different paths. I love seeing the Darth Vader mask crushed to bits. I love seeing those new ships that had kind of like the paint trail spinning out of the back.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
So I want to see, I want to see like new planets and new ships and new...
And space battles look amazing.
And I want to, you know, I want to see some new stuff. And I was really excited and intrigued by, you know, Luke's final line that it's, you know, that it's time for the Jedi to end. Because, you know, what I would kind of want from it is I want them to start blurring the lines between, you know, the light side and the dark side. So I'm crossing my fingers that kind of, you know, that line is kind of teasing that out, that maybe, you know, Luke has decided that the Jedi are ineffective and also highly dangerous for whatever reason. And now he's going to turn it into something else. So I think that the Last Jedi obviously is going to have, you know, double meanings, and Jedi can be singular or plural. But I think that, you know, what this movie is going to be about is about Luke kind of taking the order into a new direction that's a little less binary and a little less restrictive. And I'm just imagining, like, I want to get to the point where we have, you know, kind of like light side Jedi using red lightsabers and bad guys using green and stuff. And I think that would be really, really interesting, and really, I think it would be really timely. I mean, look at the world, you know, this very kind of, you know, light and dark, good and bad is all being kind of thrown into a blender and spun into something that's even more kind of dangerous on every level, you know, like the evil with the kind face. So, you know, that's kind of what I want to see from The Last Jedi and these next kind of push of Star Wars movies going forward. So who knows if that's what we're going to get, but the teaser was great. You know, just gave you just enough to show the characters. You know, there will be another trailer in a couple of months. So I was pretty happy with it. I saw you post on Facebook that people are already complaining about it, and I tell you, I am using like the unfollow button on Facebook like a madman, you know, lately. Like, anytime I see something in my feed that just looks and feels wrong, I'm just like, unfollow, block.
Yeah, you know? I had to do that. Bro, I mean, in the last, I'd say 3 weeks, I've probably unfollowed 150 people. And I'm not kidding with that number because I don't know what's going on. And it could be because of, this Cheeto-stained president we have.
Yeah.
But
We're all
there's
stressed
been,
out and angry
yeah,
about.
but there's just this unrelenting negativity, even beyond just the war we're in.
Right.
I mean, people online, particularly the geek community on Facebook, which unfortunately I'm well too wired into,
Yes.
everybody is upset and whining about everything,
Everything.
no matter what cool thing is happening. Nobody can find joy in anything. And I've gotten to the point where I just can't deal. I mean, I'm literally losing, not losing, I've lost all patience with geek one.
Yes.
I don't have
Yes.
time. I mean, the minute I see it, I shut it down personally, or I shut it down online. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
So, to get past that, Last Jedi teaser. I feel that it is definitely a different tone. We have a new director, a new writer.
Yep.
It has a feel that is very character heavy, which is what I really like with Star Wars. I mean, Empire Strikes Back shines
Oh, of
because it is
course.
the
Of
most
course.
character heavy piece
For
of
every all
all
of the
of the films.
characters, all of the characters,
Right.
and
I mean,
everyone has an emotional journey that
all of
that
them.
they're on.
And it looks like The Last Jedi is, you're going to have the First Order get their they're going to get their revenge for what happened in the end of Force Awakens. It looks like the Rebellion or the Alliance may be on the
Resistance.
run. I would like to see Coruscant because I think it's weird that we haven't seen Coruscant yet. I would really like to know what's going on over there because that was the Galactic Center and it still is the Galactic Center, but we've not seen
As far as we know, it
Coruscant.
is.
Right, but we haven't seen, they haven't even mentioned it.
Right.
So that's been very interesting to me. But I'm very happy. I mean, to see Daisy Ridley's character of Rey, she's clearly going to grow. She clearly has something going on with Luke. If you watch the panel,
Yeah.
which a lot of people didn't who are complaining, there are pictures of the set and pictures of scenes from the film which show Finn doing stuff, which show Carrie Fisher as a princess, General Leia doing stuff. They show shots of Daisy and Luke, Rey and Luke. So, there's a lot of cool things that are going to pop up that we just need to wait. And again, it's just all about waiting and getting to see what it is,
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on, just the lack of patience. I don't know if I'm too busy. I think having a kid on coming is making me a little more serious. I'm starting to get a little more mercenary with my time. So
Right, of course.
I don't have time. I just don't. And I just remember as a quick aside, but it's about the same thing. I remember that Spider-Man, Homecoming trailer came out, and first there were a bunch of people that were arguing whether or not it had given away too much of the movie, which it probably did. I mean, trailers typically do, and
Right,
we all
right,
know
right.
this. So if you stop watching the trailers, the trailer is going to tell you at least one or two things you're going to wish in hindsight that you didn't know. So don't watch the damn trailer. And then second of all, I had to see all these think pieces about how Tony Stark is going to be in too much of Spider-Man. It's like, oh,
Anything that fucking
so you know
complains,
that? You've
they gotta
seen
complain.
right, you've
Jesus.
seen the movie. And I told people, I can almost guarantee you Tony Stark is probably in like 10 to 15 minutes of the entire movie. Just because they keep showing the three scenes that he fi I think Downey said he filmed like five scenes, like five or six scenes for the movie. So this whole like, oh, it's not going to be a Spider-Man movie, it's going to be Iron Man 4. I mean, it's just nauseating. Like I don't understand why people just I just don't understand why people just can't be happy. Can you
Well, I
just
mean,
be happy about something? I mean, I'm going to read you something that just came in from the Washington Post. President Trump to discontinue Obama policy of voluntarily releasing White House visitor logs. Now, that's some evil, like, dark
Christ.
side shit, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
Now, there has to be something in the world. We can't let ourselves be drowned and smothered in
In
misery
negativity,
and
yeah.
panic and anxiety. We have to be able to compartmentalize this stuff. you know, there are still things that are happening in the world that people can find joy and value in. And I just understand everybody's, you know, upset and on edge. But to be honest, this is not like a new thing. This is not like a post-election thing. You know, people were doing the same nonsense before the election. You know, so
yeah,
it's just kind of like this bug, I think, that has infected fandom where everything needs to be critiqued and dissected, you know, the minute it comes out. And that dissection always takes, you know, a negative turn for some reason.
I've said a long, long time ago that people confuse negativity with critique. Some people feel like they have to say something negative or else they're not delivering a critique. And that goes to the lack of knowledge and lack of critical thinking ability that the average geek has. And I hate to say it that way, but that's what it is. We've reached a point where folks just can't be happy. Like, I mean, I posted this, I think, a week ago where I said, log out of your social media and read it as if you don't know yourself. You know? And
yes.
What story are you telling about yourself that a future employer might take a look at, or a future friend? I mean, what image of yourself are you projecting through social media? And for some people, I look at their feed, like their timeline, and I'm like, they don't say anything positive about anything. No matter what it is, even stuff they profess to love, they're tearing it apart.
Right.
And I don't know what, I mean, maybe I was like this when I was like maybe 15 years ago. I mean, maybe, but it's like with I go.
Man,
back
these
to this
people,
all the time.
These people grown. These people grown.
No, for real.
Grown.
If you don't
got
like
kids.
Right. If you don't like what's out now, right? There are literally hundreds of thousands, if not hundreds of millions, of hours, if that's even possible, of streamable footage of stuff that you might like if you would just give it a chance. Like old stuff. Like if you don't like anything new, and everything currently stinks to you, you've got hundreds of shows, thousands of shows that are streamable that you could get into and maybe like. I don't know. Or you could create your own stuff, which clearly nobody wants to do because it actually takes work. So I think that I'm, as always, I tend to look at the bright side of everything when it comes to genre media. So if there's a superhero, like people are trashing the Justice League trailer, I'm like, okay. Why are you whining about it? If
right.
you don't want to see it, like if you don't want to see like stuff I don't like, I don't talk about.
Right.
So it's weird that we're in this place because I stopped talking about Cheeto Stain. You know, I stopped talking about a lot of. I mean, unless it's some horrible thing that you know he's up to, but I'm not going to give the president or I don't even. He's not really the president.
Right.
I'm not going to give the person who lives
in
the White House
45.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him free advertising. So, and I said this at my panel at WonderCon, like every time you trash Iron Fist or Ghost in the Shell or whatever, or Justice League, you're giving them free advertising. So the best thing to do is to ignore them. Like one of the best things I ever learned, right, as a pro wrestling fan, is that if you boo a wrestler that you really don't like, you're still giving them attention. The thing that destroys a wrestler's career is if they walk out and the arena is silent, but a filled arena is silent. That's when you know people really don't like you. But if you give people a reaction, you're still giving them any type of attention that could be monetized. So if I don't like a wrestler, I sit on my hands when they come out. I don't make any noise. And if a trailer comes out and it doesn't look great, it's only a trailer after all,
right?
But I'll just be like, oh, okay, whatever. I'll wait to see the movie.
I'll stop watching it over and over again.
Exactly. And I won't like trash it. I mean, I don't know why people don't understand how search engine optimization works. But when you keep talking about something you hate, you're giving it free advertising. You know, we've said this many times, but it always bears repeating that the best way of voicing your displeasure is not voicing your displeasure at all. Ignore something. That is what hurts it. The same way most people ignore black created content, like comic book stuff. That's, you know, like what you guys, which a lot of geeks do for our material, do that for the stuff that you really don't like, supposedly.
Right.
You know, because if you trash Ghost in the Shell and Iron Fist and all that other stuff, you know, I'm not going to get into that debate. you're still giving it free advertising. And Iron Fist still was one of the highest watched things in Netflix history. So obviously somebody did something, you know. All that whining and complaining did not stop people from binge watching. So I guess what my message is that if you really want to protest, I mean, if you really want to protest, ignore it. Trust me, it works.
Yep. So on that note, I think that should definitely be the final word on this. You know, I just playing into that. I want to thank everyone who's been supporting Horizon since we launched it in July. I want to thank all of the people who have wished us well, who have supported the book with dollars, who have bought the single issues, bought the trades, which is selling quite a bit more strongly than the single issues are, which is completely fine. You know, read the book however you would like to read the book. But I'd like to thank you guys that have been supporting with dollars, who have been talking about the book, who have been supporting the people who work on the book, you know, liking art peaks and stuff that we've been sharing, and all of the people that have voiced their support and excitement and enthusiasm about Catalyst Prime and Noble. There are a lot of people out there that talk a good game, but don't show up when it's time to show up. But a lot of you have shown up, and I am grateful for that. And that is the reason why, you know, I have a full work schedule for this year. So there'll be much more Horizon, much more Noble, and then a couple of other things I can't comment on right now, but details later on this year. So this might be a while before we're back at this again. So before we kind of take a bit of a hiatus, maybe we don't. I don't know. I don't know how sleepy I'm going to be. So I'm anticipating being very sleepy and exhausted, and I'm hoping that maybe I'll be a little pleasantly surprised. Hopefully a little man sleeps like me. Hopefully sleeps like me that can sleep through anything. And so we'll see. But I just want to say thank you to all you guys out there that have been supporting me and supporting Easton, that have been picking up Mask. I've been picking it up every month. You know, I love it. I pre-ordered the trade. Every format that the book is available in, I will support and put dollars behind it, because that is how you truly make your voices heard. And there are a lot of things out there, a lot of missteps, you know, a lot of things that maybe were done with good intentions, but didn't, you know, kind of work out. I'm referring specifically to kind of this wave of kind of diverse comics or diverse creators that we're all kind of fumbling our way through in the dark. But I just want to tell you that Catalyst Prime is being made by the right people at the right time and for the right reasons. And if you give the books a chance, I think that you are going to find some stories and some characters to really grab onto, and that you're going to love and want to follow for years and years of great stories and great developments. And yeah, and that's it, man. May 3rd, Noble 1 is in stores. Even before that, Horizon 10 is in stores next Wednesday. Horizon 11, I believe, is in stores. I don't know where my dates are. But anyway, also, another note about Horizon 11, Image Comics is doing a Spawn month for variant covers. Horizon will be participating. We haven't been allowed to show ours yet, but that'll probably be hitting in the next week or so. And it is amazing. It is astounding. And I know I am biased, but I think it's the best one. So be on the lookout for a lot of cool stuff coming down the pike with my name on it. And Easton's going to have some great stuff too. And, you know, try to find joy in something. Try to find something to like, you know, spend, much more, you know, it should really be like a 10 to 1 ratio. Like your life, like your life is mostly about the things that you're loving, and every once in a while you may mention something that you dislike or something that you think didn't hit the mark. And I want people to realize that I know that there's a lot of talk about kind of the death of outrage about, you know, social justice war, you know, all of that is stupid. But I do think that we are at a point where we are overcorrecting ourselves a little bit, where the landscape and the environment has been so backwards and so against us for so long and our presence in it, that the pushback is sometimes really outsized. I mean, I know that to a lot of us, every single situation that happens where it seems that we're marginalized or, you know, dismissed feels like a 10, but sometimes it's not a 10. Sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it's a 4. And I just wish that we had a little more kind of modulation so that we could really, we can't die on every hill. We have to pick, you know, which hill that we need to really get out there and die on and really make the fight and really make the point. And I feel like right now we've been spun around and everything is the worst thing that ever happened ever. And sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it's pretty bad. But it's not the worst thing that happened ever. And I think this lack of kind of modulation to our responses to certain things contributes to everyone hating everything. It's like if you don't get exactly what you wanted at that moment, you know, it should basically go die in the corner. And I just think that there's a lot of stuff to still be happy and still be encouraged about. And I want to see people devote most of their attention to that. I want people to be buying and supporting and talking about Catalyst Prime a lot more than I hear people counting up the number of Black and Brown writers working at Marvel and DC. Because, you know, money talks. And if people get out here, if people throw their support and their dollars behind Catalyst Prime and initiatives like that, books like Horizon, books like Mask, books like I'm blanking on stuff. But you guys, there's tons of creatives out there. There are tons of books out there. And when you throw money at those books, that helps the mainstream companies find the right solution to these problems that they're digging around in the dark trying to solve. So when you go out and you support a universe like Catalyst Prime, that is going to have ripple effects, not just, you know, for us, but throughout the industry at large. So, you know, my advice is just show up, keep moving, keep fighting, and keep getting up. Noble Number One, you'll see that. There's a big theme in that book about a man that keeps getting knocked down and he keeps getting up every single time. He keeps fighting on. And that's the kind of perspective that I want to see more of. That's the kind of perspective I think is going to be most productive in, you know, the world of genre entertainment and the world at large. So show up.
Yeah, I mean, God bless. And I'm going to be there for everything that happens with, particularly anything that Brandon Thomas writes. I'll be there for, I've been there. I try to let people know. I try to, you know, educate. And it's ultimately down to the consumer making a vote with their dollars. If you enjoy stuff that we do, if you want to see more creators of color and writers of color on the marketplace, once again, just, you don't even have to spend the money sometimes, but let people know. You know, yeah. A Facebook like or retweet or reshare or repost or whatever, that stuff goes a long way into increasing awareness.
Yep.
And, you know, we're going to keep doing what we can do to get the publicity and the marketing. But we definitely need the support of the crew And that includes you folks. So, you know, thanks again for listening to our show. We're going to try to get more done, but even if we can't, I believe we'll both be at San Diego Comic-Con in July.
Yep.
And I'll most likely be doing my panel. I'm also going to be trying to do a couple of signings. I might be I'll be somewhere in LA for Free Comic Book Day doing a signing. I just don't know when and where yet. Okay. But I got to figure that out. But beyond that, I'm out here. So reach out to us if you have any questions. We would love to do another question and answer episode.
Yeah,
and
that's a great one.
There's a lot of other stuff that's happened over the course of the last few months that we haven't really gotten a chance to cover. But there's a lot of movies that we've missed and seen. We never talked about Get Out. I would love to talk about that at some point.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So to piggyback on what Brandon Thomas said, you know, we're going to keep on creating. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep the good fight going. And we just need the support of you folks. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
All right. Peace.